It's the Revved Up Sports Show with Rodney Rodriguez and Bobby Chaffee on the Horn, where Austin talks sports.
We are dropping the green flag, dropping the rag on your racing and motorsports coverage right here in Austin, Texas, from the Horn Studios overlooking the beautiful 360 area. This is the Revved Up Sports Show, Revved Up ATX. Showtime Bobby Chaffee across the desk from me. Dylan Fry behind the glass, Rodney Rodriguez. Got a locked and loaded show for you here today as we get ready to go into Memorial Day weekend. And Bobby, this really is the most beautiful time of the year for a race fan.
Yeah, the next 2 weeks are just going to be incredibly awesome. Everybody should be happy today. It's All-Star Day in NASCAR.
Yeah, it is.
You've got qualifying for the Indianapolis 500. Then next week, you have the greatest day in motorsports.
The best.
Monaco.
The best.
The Indy 500 and the Coca-Cola 600. It does not get better than that. You start the day, have breakfast.
That's it. Breakfast in Monaco.
That's right. Breakfast in Monaco. Then you have your brunch in Indianapolis. And
yes.
Then you know, there's enough break out there for you to go fire up the barbecue, come in.
Your beer and barbecue.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Well, technically, you could almost do that all day, but we'll save that for another segment for another show.
It's been done. It has been done. Give us a follow on Twitter. You can follow Bobby at Bobby Chaffee. Dylan is at Not That Fry. I'm at Hey Rod Rodriguez. Follow the station at The Horn ATX and the show at Russ ATX, pardon me, is how you give us a follow. We invite you to be a part of the show as well. You can join us on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline at 337-3776. Before we go forward, Bobby, let's touch on Kansas. We touched on that on our Monday show. That was some really, really good NASCAR racing that we saw last weekend.
The best part about Kansas, I feel this time, was that everybody seemed to like it. There was not a lot of issues. It was probably the most popular NASCAR race in probably the last 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
We were texting back and forth on that. We both feel like Texas was a better race, but I have a feeling that we think Texas was a better race because we were at Texas.
Yeah. The sights and sounds bring a whole different dynamic to that. But what we saw the competition. We saw cars jockeying around. We saw a little bit of contact, and it just goes to prove what we're seeing with this new more horsepower. 100 more horsepower package and downforce and all of that. What we're actually seeing is that you can actually have a good race without tearing these things up. You know, a lot of folks say, the common race fans say, a good race is a lot of wrecks. That's not necessarily the point.
No, it's not. I mean, if you people involved in the industry realize that when they wreck, you got to pay for them to get them fixed. It doesn't matter whether it's quarter midgets or cup cars.
Yeah.
But the thing about it, though, we're trying to figure out is that if it's the night race element, because other than Texas Motor Speedway, where we were at in the heat of the day, you know, for us, it was Texas, Bristol, and I guess we could put Kansas at a good solid three. I'm putting Kansas at number three. So is it the night race element? I mean, I don't know if we're going to have the same action at the mile and a half, like in the heat of the day there in Chicago, because that's the standard I think that everybody's looking for, because that was deemed by many the best race of the season last year.
It really does seem like nighttime is the new daytime. And obviously, for me, and I think for most of us, you know, what we would call a traditional race fan, we like the nighttime because we grew up at the racetracks where you're racing at night. And so we're more accustomed to that. These cars look better. I mean, everything just seems to flow better at night. And this will be a great example tonight. I mean, we could have complete havoc tonight with this All-Star race.
I think that it's going to be interesting if the qualifying, which I love qualifying for the All-Star race,
absolutely,
no speed, 160 miles an hour down pit lane. But I think that did you notice, before we get into the competition side, did you happen to notice any major difference, the little vents on the hood? I mean, I noticed it more on a couple of cars, like that last car that went out, Ryan Newman, the bright green car. It seems like the bright colored cars, you noticed it, but
yeah.
I mean, does it matter? Do you care what kind of aero package they're running, or you just want to see a great race?
Man, I don't care what they're doing, and I think with the graphics packages, you know, the wraps on these cars, that eliminates the very obvious part of that, but I mean, I don't care if it's 100 less horsepower or 100 more horsepower, 800 more horsepower, just I want good racing.
Well, I think that's what NASCAR wants. I think they're on the right path.
Yeah.
The biggest thing is what I'm worried about is kind of like we talked about back at Texas Motor Speedway. Everybody seems to be looking forward a lot. They announced that 2020 schedule, which was somewhat at the time earth-shattering in the world of NASCAR. Now everybody's continuously talking about the Gen 7 in 2021. I don't want to get too far ahead to where we don't pay attention to what we're doing right now.
because it's a very good product, and that's a lot of what we've had over the years. It's folks calling out the problems, if you want to say, complaining and moaning and groaning about what's wrong and not taking the positives. We're starting to see that decrease a little bit. I mean, you still have the naysayers. Everybody will complain about something, but it does seem like that complaint ratio is starting to decrease a little bit. Finally, and that's, you hit the nail on the head there, BC. We need to enjoy this moment right here, because we're building up to this 2021 and all of this other stuff. We talked about it on this program, all the archives at hornfm.com, where this mile and a half could become the racing package that we like, where it's been the one that we dreaded for the last 4 or 5 years.
Well, everything comes and flows in NASCAR. We've seen, I mean, it's always been the way it is. There for a while, it was, everybody wanted to go to super speedways. That's when they built the mile and a half, because that produced probably the more competitive racing outside of some of the restrictor plates.
Right.
That's when they all started popping up. Texas, Chicago, Homestead, all of them, Kansas, Kentucky, they just started popping up, mile and a half cookie cutters.
They did.
Then everybody wanted to start going to the short tracks. They're like, tear down these mile and a half, build these short tracks. Really not going to happen. The closest thing we're going to get to a brand new short track, and we'll get to it later in the show, is looks like tentatively Nashville.
Right.
That's the closest thing we're going to get to a brand new half mile track, and they got a long way to go.
Yeah, it's a lot of capital involved.
I've never been to the fairgrounds, but we've been to older established racetracks, and they're exactly what they say they are. They're kind of old and got cracks, got character, but that's what it is.
Yeah, you like that. And speaking of that, coming up here at 12:20, right here on the program, we will have we're talking quarter midgets, and that's where a lot of these guys. We had Harrison Burton. You can catch a podcast, a quick interview we had with him during the week, and he talked glowingly about his introduction into racing with quarter midget racing. So many of the stars of NASCAR today and other forms and facets of racing started there. We've got two young cats here in the studio, and we're going to talk to them at 12:20, and we'll really dig into that. But That's where it starts.
That's where it starts.
That's where it starts, and that's the way it should be. But you're exactly right. Too many mile and a halfs. They overbuilt. Too much seating. Now they're pulling seating back. I saw there with Nashville that we're talking about maybe 30,000 capacity there, and that's really what it needs to be.
Well, I think what happens with, you know, it seats 15,000 now, and I haven't seen 15,000 people at the fairgrounds for about 20 years.
No.
Remember
no.
back, I guess it was back when the station that's now known as the Paramount Network, then it was Spike, then it was TNN, the National. Mm-hmm. And at the good old days, you know, the Nashville Network, when they used to show those weekly series races on there.
Yeah.
I mean, that place was pretty packed, but it was holding about 10,000 people.
That's exactly right.
You're only going to get 30,000 people for the Cup race.
Yeah.
You're not going to get 30,000 for an ARCA race. You're not going to get 30,000 for a big late model race. You're going to get 15,
right?
Maybe
yeah.
20. Cup yeah. race, yeah, that's where you're going to make your money.
When we would jam 2,000 into Central Texas Speedway, and I, the most guilty of all, would glowingly take pictures of this massive crowd in panoramic pictures, it's 2,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about, overbuilt is what happened. And now we're going backwards because of all the different, we're all in here. Everyone in this room is holding some sort of smart device in their pocket, in their hand, in their bra, somewhere. So, I mean, that is what changed the dynamic of having to go to there's ladies in here. And I know ladies do that. I know ladies do that. I've seen that. Have you been like at HEB? You know, they just like whip that thing out. They're going to do their pay, fast pay or whatever it's called. Whip that thing right out of their brassier.
Dude, we've been at the racetrack. We see everything. They put the phones in places that phones shouldn't go.
Yeah, because some of those ladies don't wear bras.
That's right.
So you can put it in there. So that does happen at times.
But you know what? Go back to the mile and a half. We talk about it being overbuilt.
No, I want to talk about bras more.
Okay, I mean, we can.
No.
Dylan, get the button ready.
Get the button ready.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Sweet.
But think about it. We've been at TMS when there's been 180,000 people there.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I think it's just the normal decline. There's way too much stuff for people to do now. That
Absolutely.
Was the demise of Longhorn Speedway. That was the demise of Corpus Christi Speedway. I guess somewhat, you know, Thunder Hill might have helped with the Longhorn stuff.
Yeah.
But when Austin got so much stuff to do, there was a lot more stuff to do on a Saturday night in Austin other than go out, hang out on 183 over by Bergstrom Airport. Same thing.
Right.
Texas Thunder and Killeen, same thing. Once Killeen started getting stuff to do on a Saturday night, it wasn't just a little old sleepy military town it used to be.
Yeah.
You know, when stuff comes to town, it creates problems for the races, but that's why people have to work harder to make the racing an event.
And
you're
exactly.
more than likely to, you know, it's cheaper to take your kids to the racetrack than it is to take them to the movies.
You used to bowl or fish. That was your alternatives to doing this, and you could bowl or fish around the racing schedule. So that has drastically changed. They are qualifying at Indianapolis right now. It looks like Spencer Pigot still on the point there in the Eddie Carpenter entry. I saw something on Twitter earlier. Ed Carpenter clocked on the backstretch there at Indianapolis 240. That's 240 miles an hour.
I wonder if it feels that fast. When we talk to some of these cup drivers, that the speed is relative. Like when you're racing side by side at 180, it should feel like you're doing 90 on the interstate. I mean, I've gone 90 on the interstate, but I've never gone, you know, buck 80.
I bet you feel it when you stop, because I can tell you when you're going about 80, 85 and you hit a retaining wall, you definitely feel that. Did you see our man, Pato O'Ward? He took welcome to IndyCar, my brother.
That's right.
Welcome to IndyCar. What a tumble
he took. But what's funny, his reaction really wasn't that bad until he saw the wreck, and I think he was shocked.
And he's like, ooh. I withdraw.
Yeah,
I'm done.
Yeah. It's like, ooh, they're not supposed to do that in a simulator.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, that thing doesn't flip, does it? Just kind of rocks a little bit. This all-star racer we're talking about, Bobby, tonight, we talked about the changes with the radiator vents and so forth, and, you know, I don't know. That might cause more drag. I don't know exactly what that's going to do. It's really unproven. We won't know until we get them in a pack here a little bit later on tonight. But this all-star race, to you, is this, I really do feel that this is more, when you get baseball, football, NBA, I mean, the NBA guys, there's no defense. Football, nobody's hitting each other. Baseball, they're laying meatballs over the plate, try to hit it over the fence in the all-star games. This one here, the dynamic is still there, the competition is still there, and oh yeah, $1 million.
I think other than the money, the $1 million, to me, the NASCAR All-Star, everybody wants to compare NASCAR to the stick and ball sports. This All-Star race is not something you can do that with. When you're watching an NFL All-Star game, all the major players are on the field, you know, or in the same place at the same time. You know, you got 18 games or whatever it is during a given week. Same thing with the NBA, same thing with Major League Baseball, same thing with the NHL All-Star Game, although they've kind of changed their stuff up, which I think is the right way to go. The difference is, other than a change in qualifying where you get half the pack and one set of qualifying, the other back half and another set of qualifying, the All-Star race doesn't change because it's the exact same people that's there every single week. Because if you really look at it, a NASCAR race, every single one of those races is an All-Star race.
Yeah, it really is.
Because it's the best of the best that show up and make one of the 40 spots.
And the format has changed over and over. I mean, I really, old man hat here. I got the readers on already and everything, like always. But that very first race in 85, or 85, one segment there where you had a 70-lap race and just the story of Junior Johnson saying, I need a motor that is going to last 70 and a half laps. Darrell Waltrip gets out there and he is just gone.
That motor was not designed to blow. The driver had orders to make that thing blow.
So
the Days of Thunder when he flips the switch and you see how high the tack was?
Yeah.
Yeah, same thing. Same thing in that 85 All-Star race.
And if you're unfamiliar with the story, Waltrip just blows by the field, makes the pass, goes past the start-finish line, and about, I'd say, a couple hundred feet, you see the plume of smoke, and it goes, and Waltrip takes the money. Of course, Darrell Waltrip in 89, where, you know, I hope he chokes on the money with Wallace.
Line.
The pass in the grass, it wasn't a pass. What I'm hoping we see this year, Bobby, because you see it all week. You know, Fox is working on promos for this. Every highlight of this is, you know, up from 85 up until about 05.
So the question I have for you, as you alluded to being an old man and walking around.
Yes, sir.
Named one person that you know for sure finished second in the All-Star race.
That is a very good question. I believe, I know one.
Yeah.
I do, right here.
Yeah.
Kyle Petty.
That's right.
Kyle Petty. The, what was that called?
Hot summer night. Because it was the first All-Star race underneath the lights.
Underneath the lights.
In 35 years, everybody can only remember one guy that finished second.
That's exactly right.
And that's because they continuously show that wreck and stuff over and over and over. That was actually a pretty good race. I like the one, I guess it was, I couldn't even tell you the year. All I know, it was when Darrell Waltrip was running the Pennzoil car for Dale Sr.
Yeah.
And we all thought Darrell Waltrip was going to win that race. And then they got in there and got hot, and Jeff Gordon
Well, yeah, 06, 07, 08. And of course, that was when you go to Jeff Gordon, you go to the T-Rex car, which is another one with the Junior Johnson motor, where it's like been buried. It's an artifact somewhere where nobody will ever see that car again, that actual car.
Well, I think we see it nowadays. Yeah. With the way the chassis was designed and stuff like that.
Yes.
But I think the All-Star Race lost its fanciness, lost its competitiveness when the guys like Jimmy Johnson, Jeff Gordon, and those guys would just bring the stick.
Yeah.
And they just put a whooping on the field.
Yeah.
And I think when that happened, that changed the All-Star Race.
Yeah.
Last year, it wasn't very highly rated, but it also was considered the best race of the season last year, non-points wise, I guess. It was the All-Star Race in Chicago is what everybody said was the best.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. I'm looking forward to it to a certain extent. I actually kind of looking forward to it on a Saturday night, especially if it rains all day.
Yeah, perfect time for it.
Because last week, Kansas was a pretty good race on a Saturday night. And
sure
I know
was.
You and I both got lots and lots of stuff checked off the honey-do list that Sunday.
That's right. Well, I don't know about that. But I continue to sit there just like I typically do. So the segment tonight, 30-20-20. They've added five laps at the end, and it'll be 15, the run to the $1 million at Charlotte tonight for the All-Star Race. It'll be fun. It's going to be something different, and NASCAR does a good job of really building this up. Got to throw you a quick winner. Sherry Pollock's there with the catwalk. I really love that has been incorporated into All-Star Week. Just great stuff that Sherry Pollock's does. That is for the Martin Truex Jr. Foundation research for ovarian cancer and so forth.
And the ladies, and the ladies dress up very nicely for that event too. Yes,
stunningly beautiful. The women of NASCAR, I must say.
Well, I mean, when the drivers that win the $1 million, it makes it a little easier to pick up a supermodel. So
yeah, no doubt about it, But yeah, big shout out to that. You can go back and take a look at that. Just a great event. A lot of good money raised at that as well. We'll go to break. We'll come back. We're going to talk some local quarter midget racing. That is the foundation of this sport, where it begins. I believe the children are the future. Teach them well and let them lead the way, as the great Whitney Houston once said, didn't she?
I guess. I mean, stop showing your age. It's bad enough the kids in here make us both feel old.
They're looking like, what's wrong with this dude?
The longer you're in here, the grayer your hair gets.
Absolutely. We'll come back on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We're streaming worldwide on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Revved Up Sports Show, Revved Up ATX on the Horn on your Saturday as we're talking racing, motorsports, All-Star Race, Indy qualifying, all of that fun stuff. May get to Formula One here in a little bit. We'll talk about some local racing coming up in the last segment of the program. Your comments, Vaquero's Cafe and Cantina Hotline, 337-3776. We'd love to hear from you. And now, Bobby, you and I have been in racing for as long as we've been born,
most
likely. And this sport is so family-based. And in the studio right now, we have a full house here today. And this is what it's all about. We're talking quarter midget racing. And if you're we'll let them explain. But we're super excited. In the studio we have, and these ages, this is the true ages, we have nine-year-old. We have a nine-year-old sitting here in a driving suit. That's Matthew Remore Weaver. We're going to talk to Matthew. And then also 11 years old, 11, 1-1, not quite 12. We have Landon Syberry. Did I get that right? All right, there we go.
So when you were 9 and 11, the only thing I remember racing at that point was Hot Wheels.
That's it. I was at the racetrack playing kick the beer can and chasing the empty nacho cartons. That's what I was doing at the racetrack.
Empty nacho, really?
Yeah.
Not what? Okay, fine.
To lick the cheese.
On the ones that escaped?
Absolutely, man. Times were tough.
That Sam Hill cheese was not that good.
it took many, many years for me to find out that it was just Rico's cheese.
That's right.
With a little bit of additive
that
in
was
there,
the
man.
Cheese version of Taco Bell meat.
I know. Did you see the Taco Bell resort that's coming up?
Really?
You can actually go have a Taco Bell vacation that's coming up.
But yeah, we'll have a vacation when you eat Taco Bell, but let's go back to the kids. That's what we're here for today.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Bob. Sorry. I'll keep on this ridiculousness here today.
They'll keep on the Taco Bell. So I feel bad when I say so kids. So young dudes.
Children.
How about that? That'll work.
Yeah.
Young children. So talk about it. Which one? We're going to ask the hard questions right off the top.
Yeah.
Which one of you guys is the better racer?
I don't know. Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. See, that one wasn't on the script. I probably shouldn't have started with that one.
We told these young men before the broadcast, we said, we're not going to ask you anything you don't know.
But they should know who's the better one.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I heard silence there.
That's right.
Come on, gentlemen. What's this
correct,
all about?
The correct answer is we're both very competitive because we're teammates and we like to push each other to wins.
Yeah.
See, y'all got to remember that in the future. But no, really, talk about what it's like racing this stuff. Rodney and I know what it's like. We've been in the big cars, but we were older when we started. You know, really, really old compared to you guys. But Matthew, we'll start with you. Talk about the racing. Talk about how much fun it is. Just what is it for you that makes you want to race?
I mean, racing is fun to watch because when people win, all people like get up and cheer. Mm-hmm. And also watching people wreck and stuff, it's kind of cool. I mean, I like it. I like when I flip.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I've almost done that, and I don't recall ever really enjoying it.
Yeah. You pinched your seat, but that's a whole other...
Yeah, I got up out of the car, and the seat was still attached, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
But, wow. I don't think that I've ever heard that answer before.
Yeah, that's a good soundbite. I like it when I flew.
I like that a lot. I like that a lot.
So, Landon, what about you, man? So what's it for you? Same question. Like, what makes racing fun for you?
That I get to travel around the country and, and I have friends that come with us. Like, we went to COTA and all of our Austin members went, so...
Yeah, I've never been. I mean, I've been to COTA, but strictly as a fan. So
I mean, we raced to the adult beverage stand. Yeah, that's close to saying we got to race.
Race to the $9 Bud Light. That's about as good as it gets for me here. As we're talking, and you guys, River City Quarter Midgets is the organization. Been around forever. The racetrack is right out there, right past Breaker Lane over in North Austin. It's a sharp looking facility, and it's a cool place to go watch the races. So guys, you're early on. You're 9 and 11. Matthew, your best moments to this point, is there a particular thing that has been the highlight of your career up until this point? Besides flipping.
I have.
Okay.
Traveling to different places like Indiana, COTA, Florida, Oklahoma.
Nice.
All the places I like going.
Yeah. That's a really cool part
sounds
of
like
it.
Fun, yeah.
That you actually get to do that. I mean, our good friends, the Simmentals, they have done this for a long time and done a lot of traveling as well. Landon, how about you, man? Early on here in the career, what's been the highlight or the exciting thing that you've done at this point?
Winning last season's race, both races back to back.
Yeah,
I didn't win all season.
Yeah.
When it's fun, we know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know.
Absolutely.
So, guys, talk about the cars that you race. A lot of people, when we say quarter midget, they have no idea what we're talking about. So either one of you guys can answer. So talk about your race car. What is a quarter midget?
It's like a go-kart, but with the roll cage, and it has a Honda motor in it.
Like a big Honda motor? Like a riding lawnmower motor, or what kind of motor?
120 cc and then
160
cc
Nice.
That's nice. I bet that does go fast.
And you guys, when you're driving those, you're pretty low to the ground, aren't you? I mean, it's not where the car is sitting up high. I mean, you really get the feel, the bumps, all of that as you're going around the track.
Yes.
So I guess the stupid question is what folks always ask with this is, do you have any idea how fast you're going?
No, it's all based on RPMs and lap times.
Listen to that.
Ooh.
Damn.
Yeah, when they ask
my
us,
man,
how fast are you going, we're always like, not fast enough.
Yeah.
That's the right answer.
That's good right there, man.
And the other right answer is faster than everybody else. See, that's the one that works real good.
Yes, yes. So you guys mentioned, so you race locally, but so what's, are you guys, I guess we can ask Matthew, are you racing here in the Austin area more, or are you traveling out around the country more than you're racing here?
We're more traveling other places than we have been in racing in San Antonio and Austin. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, right after this, we're going to Austin for something.
Mm-hmm.
To clean up for our next Central Series that we're going to have there in Austin.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big one coming up.
That's a big one coming up. So, guys, either one of you can answer. I guess, Landon, we'll let you go. When you guys travel, you guys go all over the country, Indiana, Florida, Oklahoma. Do you guys notice a difference in the racing? Does everybody race the same no matter where you go? Or is there a different way that the guys race versus when you race here at home?
Well, I mean, some of the other people are very competitive in other in other states and...
Yeah, and you see that. I mean, I know a lot of our short track friends, they talk about when they go to Florida, you know, things ramp up just a little bit. And I've had folks that say when they come to Texas, our guys are just a little over aggressive.
Wait, they've never hit anybody for a win.
No,
never happened.
Absolutely. So you guys, I mean, obviously, you're 9-11. You have started your career very, very early. What's your goals? I mean, do you want to get to be as good as you can in quarter midget and go to a race maybe at the local level? Or are you guys looking big? What are you guys thinking, Matthew? What's your plan, buddy?
My goals are to win races, not crash my quarter midget, and when I grow up, become an IndyCar driver.
Yes, sir.
Ooh, that's a change.
I like it.
Yeah.
Remember us. I want to go to Indy someday for a race.
Yeah.
maybe you'll finally get me there.
In Cota, when we were racing, there was a Indy race.
That's right. That's right.
With Graham Rahal.
Yeah, that's right. You were there for the IndyCar Classic. This is when you guys were out there. That's cool. Landon, how about you, man? What's on the goal sheet here? Right now, or are you looking way out?
Well, I mean, after quarter midgets, I think I want to race late models and then try and go to NASCAR.
That's a good goal.
That sounds like a good goal, yeah.
No, I want to do that, too.
Rodney, what's your goal? Yeah.
To wake up tomorrow. when you get to be my age, your goal is to wake up and get that first foot down. So, yeah, well, you guys are starting off, as we've talked about. I mean, are you guys familiar with some of the guys, and this is something that had just hit me, with some of the guys that have started their careers in quarter midgets that have become very, very famous? We watch them today.
I think, yeah, Tony Stewart.
Yeah, Kyle Larson. There's a bunch of these guys.
Yeah. Justin Allgaier started too.
Yeah, it's definitely a great place to get this started. And now we'll bring in Tanya. She's I guess she's kind of the I don't know. Are you the team leader? Obviously you're the team mom. But tell us a little bit. I mean, this is a huge commitment from all of you, from the family. Talk about the club. Folks don't realize how long this club has been around here in Austin.
So, the club has been around, I don't know, since like 53 or something like that. Same location. They've gone through a lot of changes out at the club as well with repaving the track. We just did that a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, we repaved the track. And so, you know, always looking to make it better and improve it more safe for the kids.
Sure.
But we've been doing this for 3 years with the boys and don't see it stopping anytime soon.
You're stuck.
We're going to have to find another career for more money, but...
Well, there's always that.
Yeah, that's a good answer for everybody.
You take up a life of crime and, you know, it's all good.
So, Tanya, you came from kind of a racing background. You followed it for almost as long as Roddy and I have, if not longer. So what was it about the quarter midgets that made you put Matthew and Landon in these cars? I mean, is there something specific that stuck out, or was it something that the boys decided they wanted to do? How did you guys get in it?
Well, when I've been going to the racetrack as long as I've been around. My dad's worked on race cars, you know, back in the Longhorn days out to Thunder Hill, and we've seen the changes through Austin come and go. Taking Matthew for the first time. He was probably 3 months old. He don't remember it, but, you know, it's just fun to see him grow up around it and watch it. And then, Mom, I want to do that. Okay, well, first thing we saw was bandoleros. Okay, well, how old do you have to be to do that? And 8, and you know, here we are at 5, and we're like, oh, it's gonna be a while. And then we stumbled across River City one night out at Central Texas, and they're like, come on out, check us out. And they can start at 5,
yep,
but they do stop at 16, but there's other avenues to go after that. So
yeah,
As long as they're enjoying it, you know, we're having fun, and it's, you know, it's not breaking the bank so far.
Yeah, yeah, no, not
but
not
with
yet.
4 cars between 2 boys and another one on the way, and if she wants to race, you know, so yeah, be it. We'll get more cars.
Yeah, we're talking River City quarter midgets and quarter midget racing in general here, as we've got Matthew Remore Weaver with us and Landon Cybery and Tanya. So you guys, best ways for folks to reach out to the club, because there's always that track out there. I mean, it's like most of these homegrown sports, we're doing it out of our own pocket. I mean, there's not a Goodyear or Gatorade or Budweiser here to fund this. What can folks do? Where can they go to help out?
You can find us online at rcqma.com. We're also on Facebook. If you just look up River City Quarter Midgets, you can find us there. We are looking for track sponsors that would, you know, love to help us with, you know, funding trophies or you know, any other avenues, you know, with, you know, we want to look at eventually getting a better wall system so that they're, you know, more safe.
Safety first.
And we are there at the VFW. So, you know, we have the support of them for weekends, and we try to support them back with different events as well. But, then, you know, as car owners, drivers, family, you know, we look for sponsors as well.
Absolutely.
Certainly not cheap, even when you're not breaking it. So.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, so Tanya, one last question before we let you guys pack up and go. Mother's Day was last weekend, and you mentioned the wall and the safety and stuff like that. As a mom, what goes through your mind when these kids are racing? We don't even want to know what goes through your mind when they're flipping and enjoying it, but talk about the emotions from the mom aspect about when these kids are racing.
Well, I do go live for all of my videos, and I'm sure you've seen a couple of times if Matthew's flipped, rolled, whatever.
You
I'm
swear
like,
a lot.
I'll be right back.
Yeah. There's no delay on the Facebook videos.
we need to get her up.
It is scary to watch your only kid in the car flip or whatever. You know, Matthew's broken his wrist doing this, and it's one of those you tuck your phone in your bra and you run.
There it is. I've seen it.
You got to get out on the track and you figure it out. And then when you roll him back over and he's like, that was fun, let's do it again, you just turn around and shake your head and walk off the track.
Yeah.
You know, you can't really do anything else. But it is a safe sport. You know, Matthew's always wanted to play football, and I'm like, we're not playing football till we're older, just because, you know, you're in a 5-point harness, you've got a helmet, you've got a roll cage.
Safer than you're on the highway most of the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So when's the next event? When are you guys on track next?
We are actually racing next weekend for Memorial Day weekend on Saturday at River City in Austin. And then the following Saturday, again, same track. And then Father's Day weekend, we have our big Central Series event, which is a two-and-a-half-day event. We'll practice Friday, and then we'll race heats and mains both Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's a great way. And that
got to put it on places for races.
Got to put it on places for races. Absolutely. Any parting thoughts, guys? I've got Landon over on my side. Matthew's there. Anything else that you want to let? Yeah, there's a lot of people listening to you right now as a budding race car driver. What do you want to say on your way out the door?
Go like my Facebook page at LTS Racing.
So both boys do have a Facebook page. It's Landon's is LTS Racing, and Matthew is MZ Sports ATX. So they're both out there on Facebook. We do try to keep them up live as well. You know, either tag them or go from there on both their pages when we do race. So there's plenty of opportunities to go watch videos or see pictures of what's going on every weekend as well.
Knew it was going to be in the blood. I remember them going to get in that number 4 dwarf car. It was like money every time, waiting for them to make their way out there. That is what it's all about.
So you had 2 fans at least.
2 fans.
2 that you know of. Okay, good. Yeah. Family doesn't count.
2 fans. Yeah, no, hell, they're not even my fans. Man, they like Rusty Young. they were never my fans. One of them liked somebody else. So, yeah, that's it. Well, guys, we appreciate this, and we wish you all the best. And that's why we wanted to get you guys in here and get you some exposure because, man, I'm jealous. I wish I would have been able to do this when I was much younger, your age.
Well, the good news is, Rodney, is that you're not going to be able to get into their cars because, you know, no. You're like twice the size of
booty's
they are.
A little big. So, yeah. Booty's a little big. I'm not even sure I fit in mine anymore. We appreciate the time, guys. River City Quarter Midgets, Matthew Remore Weaver and Landon Sybery right here, guys. Thanks so much. We wish you all the best, and let us know how we can help.
Thank you.
Absolutely. More coming up. One more segment. It's a Revved Up Sports Show. Russ ATX on the horn. Revved Up Sports Show. Russ ATX. As we move into our final segment, thanks to the great kids from Lone Star Quarter Midgets coming out and talking about how it all begins, man.
That's pretty crazy, right? Those kids, I wouldn't say they got it made, but they definitely started way earlier than we did.
That's a good thing. Specs text line 337-3776 if you want to be a part of the show here in the final segment. Forgot to mention, National Armed Forces Day today, May 18th. That is a super special. I'm not all about these national whatever days, unless it's National Pizza Day or whatever, but that is a very important one.
It should be every day, but this whole week you got Armed Forces Day today, you've got Memorial Day. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody needs to remember why we have Memorial Day. It's right. Not because not to have barbecue, not to sit around and drink adult beverages. It is there for a reason. Everybody has been affected by somebody in the military other than just the general. They protect our freedoms every day.
That's exactly right. So, you know, thank a veteran. Appreciate the armed forces. They take care of us and allow us to do really, really cool things. Also, a big Russ ATX happy birthday to the king of country music, George Strait, as well as Longhorn legend Vince Young. So a couple of big-time birthdays right there.
In Austin, today.
Today, yeah, absolutely. Bobby, did you see this morning, James Stewart officially retired from racing, Supercross.
Well, he's been gone for a hot minute. Yeah,
couldn't get a ride. I think I'd just call it good.
But
that guy was really, really good in his time.
In his prime, he was good. Made the Supercross series better.
Yeah,
some of the battles between him and Ricky Carmichael, Chad Reed. Those were really great races. And I think Supercross now is in kind of a changing period.
It is.
Definitely a changing of the guard. I think you're going to see Chad Reed come back, maybe do a fair world tour. He broke a lot of bones. And at his age, granted, he's younger than both of us, but at his age, in terms of Supercross, I mean, he's like a granddad out there.
Yeah, he really is. And there is a shift there, and we always do seem to see somebody that jumps in. I didn't think Cooper Webb would be the champion this year, and he snuck in there, won 7 races, whatever it was, and now he's the champ. And we're not even talking about El Hombre right now, who was the champion last year, Jason Anderson. So that sport is shifting around quite a bit with the new TV package. Adam Stern talked about it on this show. So lots of things moving around in that sport.
There will be, and I think we're still in the beginning stages of their version of silly seasons. I think once they get towards the end of the outdoor season for the summertime, there's still a lot of questions. I doubt we'll see Cole Seeley back in the factory Honda.
Yeah.
There's been talk about who may be over there, might get one of the one of the current from the Monster Energy Pro Circuit Kawasaki's, either Savachi over there, and CN Cerullo may end up going over to Honda. Tough break for CN Cerullo. That kid has got so much potential, but somehow, some way, manages to wreck and take it all away.
And that's that sport, man. It's you seem to see somebody that that really is starting to make a footprint, and we're thinking, okay, that could be the next whoever it may be, and then they're hurt or they're gone or whatever the case may be. But fun stuff to watch. Now they're outdoor. They're outdoor now, so that's really fun. Still Spencer Pigot up on top over there at Indianapolis, 4-lap average, 230.083.
Yeah, now keep in mind, fast. That is a 4-lap average. Interesting qualifying, unique qualifying, specific to Daytona, to Indianapolis.
And they're going to come
through. Yeah, they'll do another run. They're going to set the top 12 today, and then they'll be able to continue to race that for the pole. it's such a fun time.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's really, really interesting the way that they sit there and do that. So,
yeah. Will Power, Simon Pagenaud, Joseph Newgarden, Eddie Jones. That is the rest of your top five on the pylon right now over at Indianapolis as they qualify. As we said, the All-Star race coming up tonight. Places for races. Weather seems to be holding out, it seems like.
It does as of right now.
What I can see. Yeah.
But Mother Nature, you never know.
Yeah.
Definitely could throw a wrench into things.
Yeah.
But we got Cotton Bowl Speedway out in Page racing tonight. Had Marianne Nauman, the promoter, on here a couple of weeks ago. So that's always a fun time. Obviously, we got the All-Star Race on FS1 tonight. Mm-hmm. Then we've got a little further out, we've got the South Texas Speedway and then the Preakness. So who knows what we're going to see. Hopefully we don't have another lane blocking issue for like we had at the Kentucky Derby.
Well, the field is definitely thinner. I think they said there's 13 late model horses in this race, and Improbable seems to be the favorite. You don't have, for the first time in I forget how long, you don't have a Kentucky Derby winner. You don't have the horse that got blocked.
None of them. Hey, did you see that $5 million challenge they did?
No, I didn't.
The owner of Maximum Security put up, he says at the next race when all of us are there, if your horse beats me,
mm-hmm.
I'll pay you $5 million.
Wow.
Like, he laid it all out there.
Man, how do they find all this money?
I don't know.
People talk about $5 million like it's a drop in the bucket. You know, for me, yeah. a quarter is like, I'm like, bloop. But... man, that's a lot of cash.
That's a stack of cash.
Yeah.
Oh, but hey, in your neck of the woods up in Round Rock, not necessarily Uh-oh. Places for races,
yeah.
But there's a car show tomorrow in Round Rock off of Baghdad Avenue.
Nice.
Looks like it's going to start relatively early, about 10 o'clock. I actually saw it on Facebook, so I think if you go in and mm-hmm. and see some different stuff there, it looks good. I mean, car shows, that's how it gets started.
Yeah, it really is.
And you and I both know, we've had the conversation on the podcast show that there seems to be a disconnect between this next generation and cars.
Yeah,
your offspring,
no use for them.
Your offspring's one of them. They just don't know where they can press a button on a phone to go somewhere. So I think that's why it's good to see these kids from the quarter midgets. They're appreciating motorized machines.
Right
now,
right.
What happens in 10 years? They may be racing electric late models. We have no idea.
Who knows?
But
who knows?
But there definitely is a small disconnect between today's youth and cars. So a car show is a nice way to do it. And it's even, you know, you and your dad have been to car shows.
Yeah.
Me and my dad have been to car shows. It's a way to connect the generational gap, because when they see, you know, a 62 Plymouth Duster.
Yeah.
That they drove in high school, they're like, oh man, this is fantastic. This is great. This is what I drove. Or, you know, even nowadays, I guess, you know, we're seeing some of the cars that we wanted in high school, like your IROCs and your Mustangs and you know, stuff like that. So it's a generational thing.
Speaking of car show, on June 16th, on Father's Day weekend, I've been asked to, they said celebrity MC the Rock Point Church in Leander car show. It's always a big car show out there. There's every type of vehicle there. That's over at Rock Point Church. Check that out. That'll be fun. There's a lot of vehicles there.
That's a big one. I've seen some of the pictures for you from doing that. But
looking forward to that.
I don't know. This next week for us is really, it's just a lot. We just really enjoy it. For us,
it's
this is the best week of the year.
It's the best. It's the best. And it all starts tonight. That All-Star race is going to be fun. Don't beat up. The product. Let's just enjoy the race. They're going to be under the lights racing for $1 million. If these cars get tore up, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
They've got their 600 cars next week, and this is for fun. And oh yeah, $1 million.
And everybody knows it too. But don't forget, watch the whole thing, because we've got the open,
mm-hmm.
the All-Star Open comes in. If the driver wins one of those stages and or the race, there's two stages and the checkered flag, those drivers automatically advance. If you win the first stage, you automatically advance in there. Second stage, you advance. Third stage winner, you get it. And then the All-Star fan vote. So four guys will get to go from the preliminary up to the main event.
Yeah, it's going to be a really good time. All of that under the lights. It is the All-Star race for NASCAR as we get ready for Memorial Day weekend. Got to ask you, Bobby, did you hear about this? We all love the Dukes of Hazzard. I mean, we were all Dukes of Hazzard fans growing up. Did you hear? Dateline, Marion County, Florida, a man driving a later model Dodge Charger painted like the General Lee led deputies on a chase on Tuesday night through Marion County after he had gone and set his wife's or estranged wife or something, set her house on fire and took off in a General Lee.
Well, was it just painted orange, or did it actually
have
the...
No,
really?
Yeah. Had the thing we can't say up on the roof.
Really? So like full-blown, just a modern-day version, huh?
Modern-day version.
I did not see that, but I imagine there's more to the story than that. We know people that are crazy, but
yep.
There's got to be more to it. You just don't set your ex's or your current wife's house on fire.
Yeah.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Yeah.
So he does that, and they go on. They don't catch him. I mean, this generally never got caught, unless it went in the Hazard Pond or something like that. This didn't go in the Marion County Pond. He was in something else, a van later, when he made yet another escape. They did find him in a mobile home later.
Oh, that's interesting. But, you know, would it have been better if Hazard County had a different sheriff?
Well, I don't know. You know, Roscoe always seemed to do a really good job. I don't know.
Maybe a different county commissioner. Get rid of Boss Hogg, you know.
Well, I don't know. Cletus must have had the night off. I don't know. He was good. News of the weird, you only hear it right here. Hey, that's motor related.
That's right, sure is.
Generally. Hope you enjoyed the program. Thanks to the fine folks, River City Quarter Midget Club. Young guys there, follow them as they continue their career. Bobby, enjoy this weekend, man. We're going to have some good racing tonight.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to the All-Star race tonight. Actually looking forward to catching back up on the honey-do list tomorrow. So it's going to be a lot of fun this weekend. Hope everybody has as much fun as we do.
We're back next Saturday on The Horn. Catch the archives at hornfm.com.